Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna devotees. Wow. So our next presenter, does not really require any introduction, because we're all here because of him. But I will say something, just very brief, so that he can actually have as much time as he would like. We have had the honor of hosting him for many years in Gita Nagari. As we mentioned a few days ago, he started coming to Gita Nagari and hosting events such as this back in the early 90s, if not late 80s. We weren't here at that point in time. However, we did come in 1994, where he was hosting the Gita Nagari Institute for Higher Education here in Gita Nagari. And again, he was bringing devotees all from all over the world. I remember at that point in time, we had devotees from India, Europe, different parts of North America, and it was a wonderful experience. And we're still having those types of experiences as we are having them today. So he's been a staunch supporter and devotee of Sri Sri Radha Damodara. Many of the different structures around Gita Nagari were facilitated by His Holiness. These two buildings in the back of the temple were constructed in order to make things more comfortable for you, the guests, to come to Gita Nagari and have the Gita Nagari experience. Gita Nagari is a very special place, and he's always reminded us of that by hosting at least two events every year. So we want to thank him, and we won't take up any more of his time. His Holiness Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj Ki. He will speak on spiritual leadership, honoring unity and diversity.
You missed you this morning from Mangal Arati. To midnight? Mukunda said it was 11:15. 12:45? Some of us came to Mangal Arati and some of us didn't come to Mangal Arati. How many stayed up until the kirtan was over or nearly over? Fantastic. Sometimes we hear, gee, there's not enough time for kirtan. So we took care of that. We invited Ananta Govinda and his party. And they do what they did last night, every Sunday night at the Brooklyn Temple. So if you like kirtan, come to the Brooklyn Temple. And if you like missing Mangal Arati, it's a great formula for missing Mangal Arati. Because the kirtan goes till midnight. Every Sunday night. Or thereabouts. So this is one of the elements of our petals of ISKCON's lotus. And don't be surprised if there, in the course of the whole weekend, there's some repetition or overlap, because petals do overlap. And some of the things that I'm going to say is just taking what others, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu and Tamahar in particular, said and expanding on it. And then what I'm going to say tomorrow morning is some of what I'm going to say today and expanding on it. So don't be surprised if there's some overlap. But Prabhupada said, repetition is necessary for clear understanding. And certain things that are repeated are repeated because they're especially important. That's one of the reasons. Another is so that it goes in. So one of the petals of ISKCON's lotus that our founder Acharya embedded within the society was leadership. Spiritual leadership. And a core element of that spiritual leadership was this principle of unity in diversity. Now, I don't know how prevalent this term is in the secular world, you know, outside the Hare Krishna movement. It's there. It's not a new notion or language, but it's something that Prabhupada spoke about, and it became emphasized in various ways, and so that's the path we're going to go on. And I'll do a little sharing also of GBC level discussions on this topic of unity in diversity. So this is a photo, as far as I know, it's a photo of Srila Prabhupada here in Gita Nagari. So he gave the teaching, and he also taught by his example the principle of unity in diversity. We'll attempt to share some of that. Perhaps the first and most famous of all was a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Kirtanananda, 1973, very early in the Hare Krishna movement. It begins, "If we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties." This is called unity in diversity. So the unity part is Krishna's in the center, and the varieties part is the diversity. Here's a nice illustration. And when you look at this illustration, you can describe what you see. You see a flower vase, a blue flower vase with different flowers of different kinds and varieties and species and different colors and different, probably, fragrances. You can't tell that from the painting. And I chose this illustration because it's part of a discussion, a room conversation that Prabhupada had with an Irish professor named O'Grady. Those of you that know European names, that's definitely an Irish name, O'Grady. O-Grady. So, Professor O'Grady was, in a submissive way, not a challenging way, asking Srila Prabhupada, how can Krishna consciousness solve a material problem like the divide that has existed in Ireland for generations? You know, the Irish Catholics and the Irish Protestants, they not only have disagreements in theology, they were having wars, extended wars and wars and wars and wars. Big factor in Irish history and European history. North Ireland and South Ireland, the Protestants and Catholics. So Prabhupada was saying that Krishna consciousness is the solution. And Professor O'Grady was disagreeing. How is it possible that Krishna consciousness can bring that solution? So Prabhupada gave the following example. He pointed to the vase that was on his desk. "Sometimes a variety of examples helps us to understand or appreciate the problem better. In the vase, there is a variety of flowers, and that variety helps us better appreciate the idea of flowers. From any point of view, Krishna can resolve all problems. All problems. That is called unity in diversity." And he's then indicating the students that were assembled there. "Our students come from different backgrounds, but because they are in Krishna consciousness, they are unified." Don't forget the Krishna part. of Krishna consciousness, because that's the unity part. While there's the diversity part, there's varieties. So we'll refer back to this image. Keep the image in your mind, because I'll make mention of it as we go further. Just say what's in the image again. There's flowers, and there's varieties of flowers. Prabhupada's statement is, variety helps us appreciate better the idea of whatever there's the variety of. That there's the essence, and then there's the variety of the manifestation of that essence. And Krishna, being at the center, makes the unity of all that variety. So now let's go back to his letter to Kirtanananda. If we keep Krishna in the center, then there will be agreement in varieties. This is called unity in diversity. I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with all GBC and senior men present. We should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, then it is simply the material platform. Something like Rabindra Saruprabhu was saying about socializing our own inebrities, our own anartas, and projecting them and so forth. Please try to maintain the philosophy of unity in diversity that will make our movement successful. This is 1973. Is that right? 73. So that's an instruction. Tomorrow morning you'll hear something further about the importance of instruction in having ISKCON 100. That is, maintaining the organization to the degree it's integrated, it's that this instruction has been followed. Or conversely, to the degree this instruction hasn't been followed, to that degree we have what Rabindra Saruprabhu was describing this morning. That's not all that's involved in spiritual leadership, but it's a very, very important element, so I've chosen to focus on it. There's another important letter. This was a letter to Karandar. Now, Karandar was the temple president in Los Angeles, where Prabhupada was identifying Los Angeles as his Western world headquarters. We heard Rabindra Saruprabhu yesterday morning describe Srila Prabhupada established Mayapur as his world headquarters and the significance of that. So it was dramatic or significant that he wanted Los Angeles, at least at that time, to be his Western world headquarters. And the president of that Western world headquarters is receiving an instruction about spiritual leadership. The point is to be engaged in doing something for Krishna. Never mind what is that job. Put that in bold letters, because again, as Tam Mahaprabhu was speaking, there's a tendency when there isn't proper understanding of the organization. So this is ISKCON as an organization, or it can be as an individual, or as a group of individuals, or as a community, or as a nation, or as world. That we may identify with a particular manifestation of service and go rah rah. And Prabhupada was, as was said, Prabhupada was very what's the word he used? Supportive or encouraging. He would encourage each devotee in the services that they were doing, that this is so important. Even he would say, this is most important. this is the most important service. And then he would say to the next person, this is the most important service. And the next person, the most important service. It's very encouraging and supportive. Groupism is where I take that instruction and separate all the other instructions where Prabhupada also said this is most important, and get a little group and start bashing the other groups that don't do this particular service. We can say philosophically, taking the big picture, that they, just as Ravindra was saying this morning, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was saying this morning, the chanting of the holy name without offense is the most important of all services. Mahaprabhu confirmed the same. But then that's at the center, and then so many services from that center. So chant without offenses. In any case, never mind what the job is, but being so engaged in doing something very much satisfying to the devotee that he remains always enthusiastic. This is emphasis on diversity or differences or varieties or individual expressions of service. A leader shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is again highlighted, individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out spontaneous loving spirit of sacrificing some energy for Krishna. Now, we try to get Vaisheshika Prabhu to come here and speak on book distribution. And he had already made some commitment at the Sadhu Sangha retreat, so he has one of his stalwart mentees and representatives here, Lokajaksha and Vidarbha Sutta, to present. I'm mentioning him because of this individual and spontaneous and voluntary is practically his slogan. It's called ISV. It means ISKCON Silicon Valley, but it also means individual and spontaneous and voluntary. They fit well together. Practically synonymous. Great leader, spiritual leader, that is very clear and very focused on this element of spiritual leadership. So the diversity part, that's being emphasized. Then we'll go to the unity part, because that also needs to be emphasized. All of us should become expert managers and preachers. We should not be very much after comforts and become complacent or self-contented. There must always be some tapasya, strictly observing the regulative principles. And then he concludes, Krishna consciousness movement must be always a challenge, a great achievement to be gained by voluntary desire to do it. And that will keep it healthy. That's the Krishna consciousness movement. This very important instruction, could say it 10 times. Very, 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 very important instruction to inspire voluntary and spontaneous and individual service with Krishna at the center. And then the movement will be healthy. Now, that's the diversity part. So we'll give some examples. Start with Krishna in the diversity part. In diversity, Krishna asks in Bhagavad Gita for fruit, flower, leaf, or water, depending upon your preference, or all of them, or some of them, or one of them. But there's diversity, and the essence is not the one with the flower is better than the one with the water, or the one with the fruit is better than the one with the leaf. From Krishna's point of view, it's the love and devotion with which the offering is made, and that's what is inspires him to accept the offering. So many examples. Here's an example from what we heard yesterday from, Friday evening from Tamahar, the seven purposes of ISKCON, and there's different categories. There's diversity within the principles. There's emphasis on books, there's emphasis on temples, emphasis on natural living, emphasis on education. There's diversity. And diversity is, it's natural and so much wanted. Very prominent example of diversity of style. How faithful was Bhakti Siddhanta to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur? There's a description in his biography. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a Diksha Guru. And his Diksha Guru, whence Bhakti Siddhanta and his father, Bhaktivinoda, went to visit his Diksha Guru, Bipin Bihari. And Bhaktivinoda paid obeisances when he came before Bipin Bihari. And for some reason, Bhaktivinoda left the room and Bhakti Siddhanta scolded his guru, saying, "The audacity, you're accepting obeisances from this Prabhu, who is so elevated, you don't even have the qualification to understand how elevated he is. Like, you know, shame on you." Bhaktivinoda Thakur came back in the room. Some further discussion. And later in private he said, Your son is very bold. You may have to teach him some principles of etiquette. But Bhaktisiddhanta was Nrisinga Guru. There's many examples in his biography. Persons would see him coming and they'd run the other direction because he would confront them. On the strength of Guru Sadhu Shastra, but he was a no-nonsense in front of me personality, just a brahmachari. Before he was a sannyasi. One other example, just nice, glorifying Bhakti Siddhanta. Those of you that have been to Jagannath Puri or may one day go to Jagannath Puri, certainly one of the places that you'll visit when you go to Jagannath Puri is the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. That's where the body of Haridas Thakur was placed in the sand after he left his body in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who personally performed his funeral without all the detail. So at the time, generations, centuries had passed since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his residence just across the street practically from Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. In fact, that part of that big, larger property was donated to ISKCON, and that's where the ISKCON temple is. It's part of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir, which was very near to Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. When you go to visit Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, you'll notice over here is his Samadhi, then on the left, in the middle there's an altar, and over on the right there's another mysterious Samadhi. That mysterious Samadhi, if you read his biography, Bhaktisiddhanta's biography, there was a Babaji who resided by Haridas Thakur's samadhi. And he was teaching things that were Appasiddhanta. Read his biography. He was teaching a certain mantra that was a made-up mantra that people from Orissa like. Too much they like, as you say in India. They like too much. And it's Rasabhasa mantra. And, number two, this Babaji dressed one of his leading disciples as a gopi and said, this is a way to practice in your next life, you become a gopi. Saki Beki. Bhaktisiddhanta criticized him for both strongly. And this man was really popular. That didn't stop Bhaktisiddhanta. He kept going. And that's in that circumstance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I think you should just go to Mayapur and chant Hare Krishna. There's going to be bloodshed here in Pur if you continue like this. So that's when he went. It took his vrata that he would chant so many 3 billion names of Krishna over a period of so many years. He was confrontational, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very different style. His style was humble persuasion. In fact, there's a description in the biography of Bhaktivinoda Thakur that sometimes his very faithful son, who loved his father, followed his father, had such faith in his father, would sometimes disagree with his father about style. You sit with these people that are nonsense, or whatever his language was. Rascal, and you know, bad. But the style was different. You get the idea. Diversity. And in spiritual life, diversity is perfectly natural. It is going to be there, and it's okay. It's not only okay, it's great. Because it's natural. Now there's spiritual diversity, like these two great acharyas, and then there's the material kind that isn't the same. But diversity is there. Three modes of nature differences, for example. This is transcendental inspiration from the Lord in the heart kind of diversity. Now our founder acharya, just some examples from our founder acharya. Those of you that have read some of his biographies or have listened, as Tamahar was saying, listening to the memories, recordings, videos, or viewing them. There was all kinds of diversity that Prabhupada exhibited in how he was perceived and how he dealt with different individuals. Sometimes he was very, very soft. Sometimes he was hard like a thunderbolt. Sometimes he was very funny. Sometimes he was this, sometimes he was that. He displayed all varieties just within one person and appropriate for the circumstance as inspired by Krishna from within. It's not a modes of nature thing. It's a reciprocation with appropriate for the time, place, circumstance of the disciple. Lots of diversity. So that first image that I showed of Srila Prabhupada, he's the embodiment of the teaching, and he shows through his example how diversity is, even within one individual, is appropriate. What to speak of interpersonal, what to speak of community, what to speak of the broader society or the organization. There's examples, for example, there's examples of Prabhupada awarding sannyas to someone and saying, now you should go and preach. Actually, it was the same day. One devotee in Vrindavan, Prabhupada gave sannyas initiation to one devotee. He said, now you should go and preach. Another devotee, he said, now you should manage in spirit of renunciation. Same day. Another from our founder Acharya example. He was very flexible. He would have an idea of how to move forward with something. And he would, if he saw it was very successful, then he would move it to the next level, next level, next level. Very enthusiastically. And his followers were very happy to have his enthusiasm move them to the next level, next level. At the same time, if he saw that the result wasn't so good, he would change. There's many, many examples. So in studying the life of our founder Acharya, I'm going to connect this with tomorrow morning's discussion on going forward to the next 50 years of ISKCON, understanding the big picture of our founder Acharya's life to understand that the context in which he gave certain instructions and the intention behind those instructions is very important for the preservation of our society. We'll hear more tomorrow morning on this. Very nice example in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he had so many different disciples from so many different backgrounds. Some very simple, some very educated, some householders, some renounced, some this, some that. So one nice example is at the time of the devotees, after spending the 4 months of the rainy season with Mahaprabhu, after starting with Rath Yatra and then staying in Puri, he brought them to Gambira to give them some instruction, something that could sustain their spiritual enthusiasm for the next 8 months till they came back again. So when the group came from Srikanda, there's many nice things, but I just stay focused on. There were two brothers, Mukunda and Narahari, and one was the son, Raghunandana, was the son of one of the two brothers. So his father and his uncle, and Raghunandana came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he gave three different services at the very same time. Very deep. Everything he did was very deep. But Mukunda was the physician, a royal physician. So he gave him the instruction, you go back to Srikanda and earn material and spiritual wealth. Because both material and spiritual wealth are needed for the mission. Raghunandana, you return to Srikanda and simply engage yourself in deity worship, which is an essential part of the mission. And Narahari, you stay here in Puri and associate with the sadhus. And Narahari became a very, very, very intimate associate of Mahaprabhu. He wrote transcendental literatures, engaged himself in that brahminical way. So the printing, writing, and publishing of transcendental literatures. Three family members simultaneously getting this very diverse instruction at Gambira. This is a nice photo of the place. See how small is the Gambira for those who have not been there. That was Lord Chaitanya's residence. Not very opulent, not very large, but that's where he stayed for 20-something years of his life in that little room. Then there's diversity shown on the right. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he created the four varnas. Of course, there's also four ashramas. So there's diversity, but there's Krishna at the center. So that's the unity part. And that's not just Varnashram, because there's atheistic Varnashram, unfortunately. And then there's theistic or Daivi Varnashram, where Krishna's at the center. And that's something that Krishna gives, and it's something, the very term Daivi Varnashram is something that Prabhupada would regularly use when he would speak about Varnashram. The deterioration of that system, which then became, got a bad name, called the caste system, which had a bad name. It has a bad name because of bodily identification rather than Krishna's at the center purpose. Prabhupada likened the Daivi Varnashram system to be like the body, where the head and the arms and the torso and the legs, they all cooperate together. What's a body without legs? Or a body without a head? Or a body without arms? Or a body without a belly? Some you can live without arms and legs, but you can't live without a belly. Or a head. You could put artificial limbs on for arms and legs. So they're meant that by design, by the Creator, they're meant for cooperation together, not I'm better than you snobbishness. And the deterioration was based on the bodily conception. So the unity in this diversity to keep Krishna at the center requires the spiritual conception of self and both Varna and Ashram to assist according to our nature in pleasing Krishna. The Krishna aspect of the Krishna consciousness diversity. I'm going to go back here. So I want to speak a little bit now. I've spoken some about diversity, that it's natural in so many ways. Prabhupada displayed it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed it. Krishna created it. Now the unity aspect. Of course, Krishna is at the center, is the key. Tamahar spoke about the principle, as we know, the principle of cooperating together, one of the final instructions Prabhupada gave. And he used this synergy example. Maybe it was Rabindra. You know, five people working together can do 25. That was Rabindra, right? Tamahar? So, synergy. One person can do something. As he was speaking, that it was one of those little things that I had a realization of before I participated in a Hare Krishna temple. Because I was practicing Krishna consciousness as a college student. And I was very happy practicing Krishna consciousness as a college student. But a little light went on. Two little lights went on. One that said, what can I do? I'm this little guy. I can do something. But what if that one little guy did things with a group of other people that also want to serve Krishna and out of gratitude render service to our founder Acharya? So much more could be done. That's why Prabhupada created temples. So that the synergy factor, we could work together and do so much more for the mission. And then there's this other thing, that the training and education element that said, okay, we distribute books and we go on Harinam and we give people the opportunity to begin their spiritual lives. Like Tamaha was giving that example of Prabhupada on the going to the 4th of July event in Washington, D.C. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but it's what a scene. People lined up on the side of the highway to, you know, all night long just to see the fireworks and drunk like anything and eating anything and et cetera, et cetera. The Prabhupada was seeing they're nice. Their spiritual lives had begun. Now somebody, their spiritual life begins and they get a book and then what do they do without the training and education element? And temples are, in one sense, basis for training and education. Of course, congregation bases can be facilities for training and education as well. But the Sanghas bringing people together is so that what's in the book, they can understand how to apply it in their lives, which is a very important part of what I hope you all participate in when it gets to the breakout session, because that's what that's all about, is things that you've heard, how do you take it home? How do you apply it as an individual or as a group that you associate with or your community or the bigger society? Because, you know, our society is made up of individuals and groups of individuals. The purpose is to of that exercise, and the whole weekend, is we're celebrating the petals of ISKCON, but also we want to continue those same gifts that ISKCON gave to us and is continuing to give to the world, to carry it on for the next 50. Some of us are too old. We won't be around for ISKCON 100. But some of you are of the age, if these principles are heard and imbibed and internalized and implemented, you'll be able to celebrate ISKCON 100. And conversely, if not, something else may happen. It's in your hands. It's in our hands. So Prabhupada spoke about, you know, the cooperation together, and when speaking on that principle, often he would refer to Aesop's fable, which I'll just say it, although we've all heard it so many times. Aesop gave to his students a bundle of sticks and said, break them. They couldn't break them and couldn't break them. And then he unbound the sticks and took one stick and broke it, and then another stick and broke it. And then the lesson was, when bundled together, we're not easily broken, but separated, we're easily broken. That's Aesop's fable. And, you know, the wisdom continues over time. One of our great presidents, Abraham Lincoln, said the same thing as Aesop said. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So if there's so much diversity without Krishna and I am spirit, soul, not this body, spiritual conception, very clearly understood and applied, then ISKCON will break, or the society will break. So to have, we're the international society for Krishna consciousness. It's Prabhupada's language. And so the society means persons coming together with a shared vision and purpose. So these are the seven purposes. And part of the unity principle, application of the unity principle, is I may have a particular perspective on something. This petal is most important, or this purpose is most important, or I like doing this purpose in this particular way. And anybody else that says it should be done in a different way, well, obviously they're wrong because I'm right. And then we get party spirit. It's very similar to what Rabindra was speaking about. Socializing our... So unity requires... You have very strong views on things based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, but also be... The unity principle is this cooperation principle of being able to hear from others that also may have some very strong points of view, and consider carefully, not how I can defeat them, but consider carefully the principle. Here's another one that I like very much, and therefore repeat it over and over again, because there's so much wisdom in these words. Prabhupada's statement is the heart, the ISKCON is based upon love and trust, give and take. It's like a sutra. I'll say it again. ISKCON, the unity, is based upon love and trust, give and take. Now the trust is based upon the trust in the bhakti principle. that bhakti will purify me, and bhakti will purify others who take up the process of bhakti. Provided, you know, it's Krishna's at the center. Not just the behavior, but Krishna is the center. Krishna is to be pleased. To the extent that that is there, I will become purified, and others will become purified. That's where the faith and the trust goes. And then we're interacting. Now, you're going into this, you know, mixing together of different persons with diversity. When we mix together with diversity, there are going to be persons that have different views. I'm not married, but I've watched what happens when people get married. There's different views. And then you're married. This one has this view and that one has that view. He's a nice devotee, she's a nice devotee. And they have different views. Now, they have to learn this principle of love and trust, give and take. That's just one unit. But then put a number of units, then this family starts associating together with that family. And you know, they're friends, but then when they start associating closely together, then you see there's different views. You keep expanding, and it's, you know, not just one family and another family, but a community, and you get the picture. Diversity is there, and unity is essential to overcome the differences. Putting the principles of unity side by side with respecting diversity. I'm sure many of you have heard or viewed that ISKCON 50 video. By the way, while I think of it, at the reception desk, there's a little USB stick that's available for people who would like one. And there's a number of things, including Satsarup Maharaj. I requested him to come to an event, an ISKCON 50 event that we're holding in New York the weekend before New York Rath Yatra. And his health didn't permit him to come. So I asked instead, could you make a video of Prabhupada in New York City and Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue? So it's an hour and 20 minute video. And it's very personal. It's about his relationship with Prabhupada and exchanges with Prabhupada and, you know, seeing others also exchange with him. But Prabhupada in the early, you know, 50 years ago. And there's other things. There's the ISKCON 50 video, and there's a Gita Nagari Press book that was printed, a PDF, with colors and statements by Prabhupada. Anyways, there's a number of things. Prabhupada, the full video of Prabhupada in Tompkins Square Park. Those of you that saw the ISKCON 50, A Life of Joy and Service, many of you have seen that. It's on that stick. So there's a little part where Hari Sori is saying unity and diversity. We honor diversity. We recognize that there's diversity, but the oneness is on the platform of we're spirit soul, serving Krishna at the center. That's Krishna consciousness. Another little piece of information, just sharing. We've had now our second ISKCON Leadership Sangha, or third? Third. So there were over 1,000 leaders. I'm going to speak about it again tomorrow morning, just another dimension of it. But having attended that event, you know, the international part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is just astounding when you see persons from so many different colors and cultures and languages and backgrounds and thises and thats, all attracted to Krishna. It's wonderful. At the same time, it's a challenge because there's all this diversity. One of the things that Prabhupada said to his leaders, even if you don't expand the Hare Krishna movement, at least it should not diminish. Maintain what I have given you. And he gave the example of a successful man passes on through his will his assets to his children. And the mischievous children become complacent and they sell the assets of their successful father and live comfortably. And then the assets are gone. We said, don't do that. Don't sell the assets. Don't just at least maintain if you don't expand. But the Hare Krishna movement has expanded. You know, the number that was given, Prabhupada established 108 temples. You saw that ISKCON 50 video. It's 650. That's with deities. But to speak of all the gatherings that don't have deities, preaching centers that don't have deities, and home gatherings, and this is and that's. The Hare Krishna movement is expanding, and with the expanding, diversity is expanding. And expanding, and expanding, and expanding. Diversity is expanding. Now, how important is it that there's unity within all this expanding while we're seeing to the individual and spontaneous and voluntary spirit to maintain the unity? Whoa. We'll discuss that tomorrow morning. More. Because it's a very important topic, but so spiritual leadership is to see to that, the unity in diversity principle. And as Prabhupada said in the letter to Kurandar, it's not just the GBC or the temple president. Prabhupada was expecting y'all. That's a shorter version of you all. To become capable in that way of inspiring the individual expression of devotional service and or in this diversity in the context of unity. And it's a wonderful challenge. It's the challenge of Krishna consciousness. Not to be so narrow, we can't do anything innovative. You can't let anybody have any initiative. You have to do all those things. And be relatable to our modern circumstance, the audiences, without going into it. There's lots of different audiences. And be relatable to the different audiences in a way that's in language and in culture that is relatable to them, without losing the essence. Krishna at the center and the intention and the context of how Prabhupada personally did that. That takes spiritual intelligence. Many of you have heard this expression. Tamaha referred to it. I'll refer to it again. Prabhupada is in Vrindavan in the final days. Giriraj Maharaj came every month from Bombay by train to Vrindavan to give a report to Prabhupada about Bombay because it was very important to Prabhupada. He was the president, so he came, and as soon as he came, took his bath, went to Prabhupada's quarters, reported, here's what's the latest in Bombay. And Prabhupada would ask questions and give him some instructions, and then he went to the temples downtown Vrindavan and took rest in the roof of the Gurukul building along with, you know, a zillion other bodies laying in a 6-foot space. And midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, someone came and broke up Giriraj Maharaj saying, Prabhupada wants to see you. He tells it so wonderfully. He was thinking, Prabhupada may be leaving his body and he wants to give me his final instruction. That was his thought, because Prabhupada's health was very frail. So he took his bath, went quickly to Prabhupada's quarters, and he reported to Prabhupada, who was lying in his bed, head turned to the side, Prabhupada, this is Giriraj Maharaj, you called me. Is there some service I can do? Long pause, Prabhupada said something to the effect, Giriraj Maharaj, will this movement go on without me? Now, how are you going to answer a question? Oh, yeah, no problem. We can go on without you. You're not going to say that. But he's not going to say, no, the movement's going to fall apart. You did a wonderful thing, but it's all going to fall apart. Can't say that either. So he describes, he was thinking, what did he hear from Prabhupada again and again? Instruction, again and again. He said, Prabhupada, you always taught us. And it's in this letter to Kirtananda, you know, the Tapasya of following regular principles. I skipped some of it, but chanting 16 round rising early. Those fundamental things that will help keep purity. So he said, Prabhupada, you taught us. If we chant our rounds, attend Mangal Arti, follow the principles carefully, and keep your instructions in our heart, the movement will go on. You've given us what we need to carry on. Silence. Silence. Then Prabhupada said, intelligence and organization. He didn't say no, you gave the wrong answer. He just added, intelligence and organization, then the movement will go on. Very key instruction, repeated zillions of times. Now, what does that intelligence mean? Well, one of the ways that intelligence means, this is from Bhadri Narayan Swami. Some of you may know him. He's our GBC in California area, Southern California. Prabhupada seated under the Asasan in Los Angeles, like here, and giving class. And Bhadri Narayan Swami repeats over and over again, hearing Prabhupada say this phrase, one sign of intelligence is the ability to hold opposing points within the mind. I'll say it again. And one sign of intelligence is the ability to hold opposing points within the mind. Now, the mind is a binary processor, just like computers are binary processors. They're modeling the mind. The one or zero can't be both a one and a zero. It's a one or a zero, just like the switch on the wall that turns the light on or the light off. Light on or light off. A one or a zero. That's the mind. It's either this or that. But intelligence is the ability to hold both this and that within the mind, opposing points at the same time. That's this diversity based upon spiritual intelligence. Dadami bodhiyogam tam yena mamo piyantite. How we can, Krishna gives that spiritual intelligence to those that hear the instruction repeatedly and carefully and thoroughly, and like Rabindra Sarup Prabhu was describing, the instruction to chant without offense, the instruction to chant with rapt attention, undivided attention, without distraction, then this becomes possible. Then Krishna can give the intelligence. So buddhi is given to those who have that bhakti. And then one can be the leader that Prabhupada said he wanted all of his followers to be, in different capacities and different positions, but the principle of spiritual leadership is to have this kind of capacity that we don't have to get into fights over differences, but we put Krishna at the center and we cooperate together on the spiritual platform. That's a gift. That's one of the petals. It's the topic that I chose to speak about. unity in diversity. And then there's all this variety, but then there's unity. So, again, Prabhupada's instruction, please try to maintain the philosophy of unity and diversity that will make our movement successful. There's that letter to Kirtanananda. Just a couple more images. How this connects specifically with the chanting of the holy name, the Yuga Dharma, as we heard from Ananta Govinda, both some words and the kirtan itself. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has to be approached in the same manner. This is the teaching of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. A symptom of properly hearing the holy name and Krishna Katha is that we become free from propensity to criticize others and sectarianism, freedom from sectarianism. Sectarianism meaning exactly what Rabindra was describing, saying there wasn't time to get into it, but socializing Arunartas. And we get together with those that have similar ones, and we have a perspective on things. And if it keeps going and growing and growing without Krishna in the center, then it becomes competitor entity or something like that. So the antidote is this humility and deep sincerity to come to the stage of offenseless chanting, and then fulfilling these nice instructions of unity and diversity becomes possible. So I'm going to share a little bit more of this tomorrow morning on a GBC global level. For now, I'm speaking primarily about, you know, as individuals, our individual responsibility, and within our families, our wholesome Krishna conscious families, as we heard about yesterday, and our wholesome Krishna conscious community, which is made up of wholesome Krishna conscious families, and our institution. So I'm going to speak a little bit about the institution tomorrow morning on this principle and the topic of today, unity and diversity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lifelong challenge, unity and diversity. Subal, you have something?
Guru Maharaj, I wanted to ask you that you have diversity, devotees who are thinking very deeply and very committed, at least to a good degree, to serve Prabhupada's mission, but in the process of that, you know, that particular vision that the devotee hold that may be different of other devotees who are also thinking very deeply and having a different vision. And then when this, so the unity part seems to be there, which is service to Srila Prabhupada, but nevertheless still, you know, there's separation. They can fit, they can work together. So how is this solved? That's something that we see in temples happen, you know,
sure,
quite often.
And, you know, and see it all over the place besides in temples. Well, it starts at the heart level, but sometimes the head level is necessary to approach the heart level. That is to say, training and education in principle that can then allow, you know, there, it's okay. It's natural. It's beautiful to have diversity. What's a flower vase that has only one color and one kind of flower? Not as nice as... So, diversity is natural in this world, provided Krishna is at the center, and there are principles that are being observed, then a variety of vision of how to manifest Krishna, connecting with Krishna in accordance with certain principles, that's beautiful. I'll give a practical example. I've learned a lot. The times that I've had interaction with Bhurijan, I've always learning something. And one of the things I learned from him was this one. He established the VIAG, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. When I heard about it, I was very enthused because it gave me a good excuse to be in Vrindavan for a month, because then I could do some service, and I'm service-minded. I couldn't imagine just being in Vrindavan without some service. So I signed up for the VIAG. And I did that for a number of years. So I was Kartik month in Vrindavan for many years. And then some time passed. I started doing some other things, yatras in Vrindavan instead of that. And then I saw Bhurijan in Mayapur and asked him, you like Vrindavan, how come you're in Mayapur? I'm here to study and evaluate the Mayapur Institute for Higher Education. So I did one of these. I said, Bhurijan, they do things so differently than in Vrindavan. They do this instead of that, and they do that instead of this. And Bhurijan. And his lesson was diversity. Is fine. My assignment is, are the principles in place? Because one manager is going to manage this way, have this vision, another manager is going to manage that way and have that vision, and teachers are like that too. So diversity is fine. Are the principles there? And if some principles are off or some principles are missing, then I'm going to, share that with them. That's all. Now there's a Brahmin who understands unity in diversity. So we need to train our leaders and our members in this principle. So where's the line? Because that's one of the questions that always comes up. Well, where's the line where, it's no longer unity and diversity, it's just diversity. We need qualified leaders that know that distinction and can nourish the unity part, not just slam the diversity part. This is exactly what Prabhupada said in this ISV letter. Individual, spontaneous, individual and spontaneous and voluntary. So different visions to do things this way and do things that way. It gets unwholesome when I think I have the vision and I bash others that don't share my vision. This one. Okay? I'm watching the clock. We have to stop at noon? Is that what the schedule says? 11:45? I can't hear you.
The schedule is a little confusing because it says 11:45 and then the next program is 11:45 to 1:10 and then there's nothing between 1:10 and 1:30 when there's lunch. I'm not sure if there's
okay.
A typo.
Velka Juksha, you're next, right? And how much time do you require? 3 hours or 6 hours or... an hour and a half, or? Huh? Okay. So we'll go to, a little bit before noon, and then we'll break. Okay? Loka, that's okay? Okay.
As far as the spontaneous part, I wanted to hear about the balance between spontaneity versus taking up service under instruction, because sometimes devotees will not be spontaneous even though they wish to take up some service, waiting for nobody's told me to do it yet.
Spontaneous, they're not in the slightest mutually exclusive. Prabhupada is speaking about the manager that sees and wants to encourage and nourish and nurture spontaneous spirit. And then the person with spontaneous spirit wants to go to the person that they need authorization from, and not like twist their arm or convince them or, you know, roll them over or something, but, you know, get refinement of their idea or endorsement of their idea or cancellation of their idea or whatever it is. They're not at all mutually exclusive. And our devotee care person wants to add to this. Can you pass the microphone back? Please address this if you'd like to, as well as whatever else you want to do.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Thank you. We're always nourished when you share Krishna consciousness, because it always comes from such a deep level of experience, as well as philosophical understanding, as well as practical application. Thank you very much. I was a little intrigued by this topic of unity and diversity, because I have seen in our institution that these principles have so much value within themselves. At the same time, if we don't have personal value within ourselves to apply the principles, then sometimes, as Vibhajeshwar Prabhu shared this morning, we get this gap. So I'm wondering, as you're sharing this topic, what values would you recommend for one to develop this mood of unity and diversity?
Okay. Before here's a confession, or, you know, a disclosure. Before I came here, I consulted two persons. One, our communications director, because I know he thinks about this a lot, Anuttama Prabhu, and Vrajavihari, because he deals with the conflicts that arise from clashes between diversities. And one of the things that he shared, actually it was with the next topic, but it's related, the values, in his opinion, because he's also a Bhakti Shastri teacher, is the values that are embedded in Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is to carry us from the condition to the purified stage, nourishing bhakti. So there are values, and I didn't get a chance to respond to him. He listed six of them. But the values that are within Bhagavad Gita, and not only teach them by precept, but teach them by example. But specifically, which values? Ahimsa is obviously one of them, and Swadharma, following principles of religion, Samadarshana, which you can't do, it cannot be done without seeing on the platform of the soul. For him, that's a really big one, as the, you know, ISKCON Resolve person. Our philosophy, Harbinder said it, our philosophy is we're not this body, but do we live it? And differences are there on the platform of the body, differences are there on the platform of the mind, just like this question of people that have a different vision of how to spread Krishna consciousness or carry out a particular instruction of spreading Krishna consciousness. We need to a value of seeing one another on the platform of the soul while respecting the differences of embodiment, compassion, nonviolence, following the codes of religious principle appropriate for us. Like that. The principles are given in Bhagavad Gita. Those are the most important values. Like that list. It's a long list, but, you know, chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, or 8 through 11, 8 through 12, those are all values. The Krishna indicates those are items of knowledge, but their qualities are values. And it starts with amanidvam, adambitvam, humility and pridelessness. Those are nice values. And we teach them best by example. And then we we hold those values or those qualities, then we could access the realm of spirit, and then we can be good guides to others by our example as well as our words. You have some thought on that topic?
Again, thank you, Maharaj. Yes, I absolutely understand and agree that those values in Bhagavad Gita definitely will assist us. And as you are such a practical person, and that's your example, the Devotee Care Committee is one of the values is integrity and example. And so I was asking that question because you are exemplifying these petals and devotees will take this away. So how will they live it? How will they live this unity and diversity? So it's nice to know that the Bhagavad Gita, as you're sharing, is where we get our values. Thank you.
Bhagavad Gita is best learned from a teacher of Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, the responsive to the question that you, if, at least what I understood you to be asking is how to best apply, that's what that breakout session is meant. It's just, it's not like the panacea, but it's a part of the process of sitting with persons that are very gifted, they're dedicated to a particular area of bhakti, each of our presenters, some area of bhakti, and then work with others to the application part, not just information, but application, through guidance. And then perhaps connecting them with other persons in their community that can also, networking, the guidance principle. Something else. Way in the back. Way in the back. Way in the back. Raise your hand, Krishna Kumari.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were speaking about individuals and being able to have our individual flavor of service. I'm just wondering on the higher levels, does that mean that samadhi will look different for different people because of their individual relationship with Krishna?
Oh, I don't know. It may be, you know, if the followers have a particular individuality of expression. There's variegatedness of realms, even in the spiritual realm. There's variegation of rasa, even within rasa. There's varieties within rasa. Some cowherd boys are like this. Some gopis are, you know, different than each other. So, but you know, as far as samadhi, I can't say that. Unless somebody designs their own samadhi, I suppose it's possible. Maha Mantra. And I think we're going to end after this.
Guru Maharaj, I was just wondering, it would be very nice to understand clearly the factors that affect or block perceiving this unity in diversity. So, is it the opposites of 13.8 to 12 that cause this lack of vision?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Is fault finding the cause of lack of unity in diversity? Is that what you're asking?
Are all the opposites of the qualities mentioned in 13.8 to 12?
Yeah. What's your question?
Is it the reason one cannot perceive the unity in diversity?
Well, if you read carefully, if I've understood your question properly, you read carefully several times the first paragraph of that purport. And amongst all those qualities, one is the most important. And that's undivided devotion to the personality of Godhead. Okay. And then that can be accessed by Acharya Upasana, by full shelter in the spiritual master. So those two permit all the other ones to be manifest. Minus those two, the other ones aren't going to manifest. And then at the top of the list is humility and pridelessness, and so humility and pridelessness are necessary to take proper shelter of the spiritual master to get the inspiration for undivided devotion to Krishna. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
It's a nice purport. It's worth reading many, many times. Actually, I'd like to see if there were some hands on the ladies' side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. Excellent overview. And I was thinking that on a practical level for how to really accomplish, and I like how you're dividing the unity of and diversity individually, and then tomorrow you're going to make it more on a group level. And one of the things that comes to my mind is moving beyond our comfort zone. Like we have a comfort zone, certain groups of devotees that we're familiar with, that we hang out with. And I think one of the challenges, especially like when you come to a seminar of this magnitude, is just to deliberately move beyond your comfort zone and introduce yourself to another devotee that doesn't look like you, may not be from your city. And so that way we can start really getting across those lines, you know, moving out of that comfort. And even like things like I have a friend, he's a really excellent cook, but he also is a deeply philosophical devotee, Bhakti Shastra. Everybody's always asking him to cook, and nobody asks him to give class, you know. So finding out different ways and different gifts that people have to share and inviting that, and just in general, moving out of our own comfort zone like that. So comment on that, please.
Yay! There's several comments. One, at the International Leadership Sangha, the organizers requested the GBC, don't just go hang out with the people that you haven't seen for so long and all of that. I mean, some of that's got to be there because we're human. And make sure that you go over there and just sit down, invite yourself, because they don't know you and you're the faceless GBC. Let them know you and let you know them, because these are leaders. So I did it a few times, and it was really fantastic. I learned a lot, and I think it meant something to the person that, you know, I purposely went to tables that they were hanging out together with their group very clearly, and you know, so I went to, may I sit down? Sure. Who are you? You know, Ramaphat Swami. And or another example, Sunday feast. Or Rath Yatras. Is Rath Yatra season coming? And Rath Yatra is a time when you have people you haven't seen for a billion years, and there they are. But you know, the tendency is to, anyway, it's Sunday feast. One of our strategies at a successful Sunday feast is there's a team, 3-4 devotees, that would spot the newcomers and then assign somebody, you speak with that person, you speak with that person, you speak with that person, because of likenesses or whatever it is, age and gender and stuff. But you know, because if that purpose isn't there, then you know, the opposite can happen. I've been told, I won't give the names, but somebody told me, several somebody's told me, I went to the temple for 6 months and nobody said, boo, who are you? And then one day somebody, you know, they were thinking, let's go to some other place. Maybe they'll be more warm and friendly. But, you know, somebody, and then that somebody went to their home and now they're, you know, fantastic devotees. Because they got out of the comfort zone, and of course it was done, in one sense it was done as a purpose of the mission, but one of the messages that's important to me as a GBC member, and you know, somebody that's, and I'm to you also because you're bringing it up, is my dear devotees, there are probably some people here that have never been to Gita Nagari and kind of new to Krishna consciousness. And you don't have to like hang out with them, but you know, say Hari Bol. You know, not just your friends. Because we're a society, and you'll learn a lot about, you know, Vaishnava hospitality and so many things about from the person about what inspires them in Krishna consciousness and how you might, so many things. You know, what you said, the third, is exactly what Prabhupada said. This complacency is not good. It's easy to get complacent. It's too easy. So not just because it's a duty to be nice to new people. We should be nice to everybody, including our peers and everybody else. But it's part of what's going to hold the international society for the next 50 years, is exactly this. And minus this, the likelihood is less. We may have little fiefdoms of groups of people that are like each other, and they come together because they like Prabhupada's teachings, they like each other, period. That's not ISKCON. That's not what Prabhupada gave us. I've gone past my time. I'm going to end. Thank you all very much. Oh, yes. There is one thing. A little, little announcement. Part of our service in New York City is to take care of the 26th Second Avenue, the place where it all began, the Tirtha of the Hare Krishna movement, one of the tirthas or places of pilgrimage of the Hare Krishna movement. Because after all, ISKCON 50 is celebrating the 50th year of establishing ISKCON done at 26 Second Avenue. And on that little USB stick will be the video that will tell you all about that. So, look at this. Here's a flyer for an event that's going to take place on June 5th at 26 Second Avenue, where we're going to be discussing the seven purposes of ISKCON and different speakers, Anutama and Malati, and different people are coming to speak on the seven purposes of ISKCON. Lokadyaksha is going to do a repeat of what he's doing today on the book distribution purpose. For those of you that cannot come on June 5th, for whatever the reason, here's some good news. You can participate remotely in the following way. And there's a flyer downstairs at the registration table that tells you the following and more. The storefront at 26 Ekman Avenue was rented for 2 years. 1966, 1967. They outgrew it's a small space. So the lease ended, they went up a few blocks and across the street into a loft space, 61 Second Avenue. That lasted for a couple of years, and then they outgrew that space, and then you just kept moving and moving, you know, to other facilities that needed more space. Somebody woke up in 1991 saying, hey, we should get a lease on 26 Second Avenue. It's such an important place. So the landlord, very nice man, because his father had a relationship with Prabhupada and he loved Prabhupada. And so his son and daughter are now the owners of the property, and they were happy to have ISKCON leasing 26 Second Avenue. So the lease went for 10 years, and they gave another lease for another 15 years. So 10 plus 15 is 25, right? Add 25 to 1991, and you get 2016. The lease that we had for 25 years ended April 2016. But good news, the landlord gave us a 3-year lease because for 15 years there was no increments of increase, but the place was booming over those period of time from the Lower East Side, whatever it was, to, you know, Second Avenue, you know, high-rise buildings. Look carefully when you get your USB stick at the video, and there's Yadunath standing right next to what used to be the Sunoco station, is now a construction site. It's now going to be something like a 15 or 20 story high rise residential building. It's gentrifying. So the landlord increased the rent 34% first year, 7% the next year, 7% the next year. And we've been maintaining, you know, $1,650, not we. They have been maintaining that from generous people that have given. But they stretch it over 3 years and it's $28,000 they don't have. So this is an event that you can participate in remotely or come in person. And there's the thing downstairs says, if you can, $108. And, you know, over it's a modest amount of money, and then if you have some friends, you give them the same opportunity, and hopefully by the end of this event, we'll just be guaranteed that we'll be able to maintain that very special place. The place where it all began, the Hare Krishna movement's birthplace. And if you can't do that, just give whatever you can, and you'll get one of these nice USB sticks, and you'll be happy, and we'll be happy, and Prabhupada will be happy. Chant and be happy. Okay, that's it. That was my rah-rah. Okay, you ready? Go ahead.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hiding behind the...
So you mentioned His Grace Purujan Prabhu as an example of honoring the diversity, unity in diversity.
Yeah,
yeah. I have another example, Maharaj.
Uh-oh.
And if we look out into this group of devotees, we can see it's such a diverse group of devotees. We see different nationalities from all over the world. We see different ages, young and old, well, I mean youth and senior youth. And they're all here because of you. So I'd say that you are an example of spiritual leadership and honoring unity and diversity. So let us appreciate His Holiness Ramapad Swami. So we would like to suggest for to have a 10-minute break until 12:15 while the next presenters are actually setting up. Please get up and walk around, stretch, do whatever you need to do, and we'll reconvene back in here at 12:15.